Second thing is like Rwanda does not have cobalt, right? The mineral in their country at all. But why are they exporters of this mineral? Why do we act like these guys are not in Congo, which is like literally their neighbor, right? Like, I feel like any logical thinker, like, if you just look at it like logically, like, okay, where are you getting it from? Welcome back to season 3, episode 10 of Next Stop Africa. Happy New Year, firstly. Hope everybody ended off the year on a high note. Hope everybody's starting the year off well.
The
On
audacity. You're just
the
away all this long, and then you're just gonna come back strolling in like nothing. Not gonna explain it to the people. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
But no, now before we do that, I am your gracious host, Nikki Koma. I'm Congolese. I'm here with the man that does everything for us, Luden, Dominican, Puerto Rican.
Hello.
I think firstly, we owe everybody an apology for being away for so long. There's been a lot that's been happening in everybody's like personal life. So, you know, as adults, life happens. We just kind of gotta roll with it. But nonetheless, we're here, we are back, and I know you guys are excited. What we have in store for you guys for the remainder of season 3. Typically we have like a quiz, but today I do not have anything prepared.
Why?
Again, you said why?
Why?
I was too busy doing research and reading, and it slipped my mind, but you know, we'll get back to it. I'm sure that's a segment everybody's very, very, very interested in and looks forward to all the time. So, but
Note the sarcasm.
nah, no, it's crazy. People, I don't know why people say I have like a sarcastic tone, but
I can, now that you say that out loud, I can definitely see that. There's a, it's not a,
says like an undertone of
yes,
sarcasm.
there's an undertone of sarcasm.
I
It'll
just.
be like, wow, you did that? That's crazy.
But I just talk like that. Yeah,
But there's an undertone of sarcasm underneath it all.
don't know. Somebody told me I show no enthusiasm in anything.
Agree to disagree.
It's like monotone. Like it's just like,
Agree to
but
disagree.
honestly, I'll be honest. If there's any sarcasm, I learned it from my older sister. So
Wow.
she's gonna blame. He's on the blame. But yes, how you been, bro? How's your new year starting off? I guess what's the goals for this year, if you have any?
Great questions. Really trying to focus on a lot of the things that I want to do at work, really expand my career as an engineer, all that kind of stuff, slowly but surely.
Nice.
But
In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
amen to that.
No, that's dope,
Yeah.
bro. I think all that is achievable. Think about the same for me. I think focused on kind of moving up in the rungs of life.
I know exactly what you're thinking.
Nah, I mean, I think you know, professionally and more so with the podcast. I think now more than ever, we're definitely in a spot where I think our voices in terms of like, you know, what we bring in with the podcast is more important than ever. You know, this ties in a little bit into, you know, our discussion for today, which it's a little bit structured differently than what we typically do. We're kind of going to give like a quick overview of what's been happening across the continent itself, you know, with a lot of like the major medias kind of suppressing certain information, shedding light on just certain information. You know, I think, again, with respect to Africa, I think it's very, very important right now for us to, you know, continue doing what we do and continue making sure everybody is kind of receiving, you know, the right information and not just going off of like hearsay. So, with that being said, I guess we could kind of jump into today's conversation topic, whatever it is that you want to call it. I think the first and most important thing that's been big, well, one of the one of the two things that have been very big in African news is South Africa, which I am very, very proud of. For those who don't know, South Africa is taking Israel to the International Court of Justice, accusing them for genocide against the Palestinians in Gaza. I think them doing this is only fitting, knowing their history of apartheid. Most people don't know that Israel and the apartheid regime were very, very close. Israel used to sell them, weapons. Israel was also working on building nuclear bombs with them to use. So I guess that's what I mean, that is fitting that, the children that experience apartheid have grown up to become judges and lawyers and have gone on now to stand up to another group that was a part, of killings of their parents, friends, families, et cetera, and standing up to injustice, right? Basically genocide that, everybody's, well, not everybody, but I think the media of the Western world and the Western powers, they're ignoring and funding. So I think as African, I am.
For Israel, you mean?
So
Okay.
the US, the UK, you know what I mean? France, they're funding, Israel, right? Like they're sending them money, sending them weapons, et cetera, right? So, but I think for South Africa, whether they win the case or lose, I think this is an incredible moment in history. I think this is something that would spark a big revolution, right? Like there's something brewing, there's something coming, I think people have had enough, and people are willing now to, stand up, to what's wrong is wrong, right? We're not gonna try to turn a blind eye and act like, it's not wrong. And again, very proud of South Africa. As an African, I am like, very, very, I don't even know the word, like, of happiness and like filled with joy, and just watching the, them present their case, it is obviously to anybody that has a conscience, it's straightforward, right? Like it's very, very straightforward. You seeing like these people in real time recording, murdering people, you know what I'm saying? Killing children and women, like, bombing hospitals. Like it's, you know what I'm saying? Things that go against war, right? Like, there are rules to war that they've went way past, right? And we're not gonna act like, this is not happening. I'm very, very happy that they're speaking up and they're standing up. They've been very instrumental. There was a meeting with the African Union too a while back where, the leaders of the African Union, again, these are like puppets handpicked by the Western, right, that are leading this
Fair
organization,
topic.
right, that are leading this organization, and they wanted Israel to sit in on this African Union meeting, which makes zero sense, right? Like, what is
What
the
was the
purpose
reasoning?
exactly, right? Like,
No, what
but
was no, I mean literally, like, what was the reasoning?
I
What did
mean,
they say? They were like, oh.
Israel has interest. Again, like, they number one exporter for diamond, right? And they're
Also,
very,
Amy, I think it's also worth noting,
yeah.
and let me know if I'm like out of line here. I think, at least from my conversation that I've had with people, a lot of those killing decisions are coming from the government and not from the people.
Oh, 100%, 100%,
And
100%.
the only reason why I'm saying this is because I think a lot of people, not a lot of people, I think some people have blurred the lines and
Yes.
are and have been finger pointing at a whole group
No,
when it's
yeah,
coming
I agree.
from a particular subset of the group.
Yeah.
So I
No,
just wanted to point that out there.
I think people that notice the genocide, they understand that it's not, you know what I'm saying? You're not saying like, oh, the group is doing this, right? People have noted. But I feel like it's the other side that's has really blurred the lines, and they're not understanding, yeah, that the government has put them in a place and a position which, you know what I'm saying, is not beneficial, right? Because you even have, religious leaders within that group that are saying, the government should not be doing this, right? Because like, this is not what we're teaching. This is not part of, you know what I mean? So, you know, yeah, that's definitely a valid point to make for sure. But I think, yeah, to go back to the African Union thing, you know, Israel is involved in, like, you know, the minerals extraction of Africa. Again, one of the richest diamond exporters is, you know, Israeli. Again, and he's also tied to, you know, the mining issues in Congo. So it's, yeah, so they're very, but yeah, so again, South Africa did stand up in the meeting, and they did say that they will not allow Israel to sit in on the meeting, right? Because it makes no sense. And again, this, you know, you sit there and you look and you say, yo, why is it that is only one country, right? And that's feeling this way, right? But then again, you know, the issues with the politicians of Africa, right? Again, I'm very, very proud of what they're doing. And, you know, we can only pray now, you know, that the ICJ makes the right choice. But nonetheless, I think everybody's proud. I think the world is proud. You know, all it takes is one, you know what I mean? All it takes is one person to stand up. And I think everybody would get the courage to kind of see.
I was reading an article from BBC where they were talking about this, and they mentioned how Israel doesn't like the ICJ and feels that they're biased towards them. And so, like, if they're like, yeah, they're at fault, then it's only going to incite even more riots. Like, this is exactly why. Or, and then they don't, everybody around the world is like, what is wrong with you? So it's just like, there is no right. Like, in their case, there's it's either someone's going to get mad.
I agree. I think, and something I was reading too, I saw, which made sense to me. Let's say they do side with South Africa's case, right? Mm-hmm. Who's to say that Israel is actually going to, like,
listen,
right? Like, right? Like, you know what I mean? Because the ICJ is not, they don't have like an army, right? Like, you can only tell them, like, hey, look, listen, because of international law, boom. But you know what I'm saying? Who's to say, you know? And then if they ignore it, you know, then you could have, you know, a different country, like, now step up and say, hey, look, the law said this and you guys are still doing this. So now we're going to, you know what I mean? Like, so it's, I feel like it's definitely tricky, but, you know, hopefully they listen, you know. Well, I'm being very optimistic, and I know they're going to side with South Africa. I'm praying on it. I'm sure God is
optimism.
Yeah, bro. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't believe in killing a woman and children, bro. I think that's insane. That's very insane. And then killing doctors and journalists, like, right? Yeah,
the situation is.
But yeah, so kind of going off of, like, you know, Israel being tied to Congo, you know, yes, the Congo situation as well is, it's a very, very hot topic right now. It's been happening for a very long time, but I'm glad that it's getting, you know, attention, at least, and people are seeing what's going on and understanding that, you know, wrong is wrong. But situation in Congo is obviously a lot of rebel groups, all right? And that's just across the continent for the most part. There's the main rebel group in Congo, Eastern Congo, the M23 rebel group, which is backed by Rwanda, you know, but they deny it as much as they want. But, you know, the UN, you know, the group that I'm not really the biggest fan of, right? Because they do more data collection than anything. Right?
Oh, my God.
they have confirmed, right? They have confirmed that Rwanda is backing them. Even the US and France has confirmed that M23 is being backed by, right, Rwanda. But we know who is backing Rwanda. So for the US and France and UK and them to come out and act like, oh no, it's Rwanda, as if we don't know, it's actually you. right? Like, let's not, right? But these are like, you know, known facts, right? Like, so, and also Uganda has rebel groups in Eastern Congo as well, doing similar stuff as M23, but M23 has been like the main group that's been, you know, doing the killings. But yeah, the Ugandan rebel groups and the M23, they are backed financially and militarily by, you know, the Western powers, right? So US, France, UK, and Israel is also involved. So again, it's a very like complex situation. Because now you even look at Rwanda, right? It's on the outside, it seems like one of the more advanced countries on the continent. Well, it is, right? I think next to Kenya as well. But you know, they're living in a very, you know, some will argue it's not a dictatorship, but you look at how long, you know, Paul Kagame has been in office, right? You look at the laws he's passed to allow him to stay in office for, you know what I mean? And this is where I feel like people kind of miss the link, right? Because if this was another president on the continent, right, he would have the name dictatorship, right next to him, right? Because, but somehow, Kagame has never had dictatorship, and that's crazy, right? For Western media who love to throw dictatorship right next to every African leader, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to understand, bro. Like, I don't understand how that is not a dictatorship, right? Like, I think putting censorship on, you know, on your people, that's not a dictatorship. Like, all these things that, you know, they love to write in the media, right, about like all these other African leaders, and I'm like, doesn't this still apply to, you know what I mean? Like, they even label Congolese presidents as like dictators, and I'm like, okay, cool, all right, cool. So if we're using your standard of what that is, how come this guy has never, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's something to think about and kind of like really account for, right? And I think second thing is like Rwanda does not have cobalt, right, the mineral in their country at all. But why are they exporters of this mineral? Why do we act like these guys are not in Congo, which is like literally their neighbor, right? Like, I feel like any logical thinker, like if you just look at it like logically, like, okay, where are you getting it from? Does not add up, does not make sense, you know? We know what's really going on. But yeah, as of late though, I have seen a lot of people speaking out about what's going on in Rwanda, and you know, about how certain people get silenced when they speak out against the government, some get killed. Trigger warning, sorry, trigger warning, some people get killed. And so people are starting to, you know, speak up about it and, you know, trying to tell the world about what's actually going on. It's definitely sad. Again, this could apply to a lot of countries on the continent, right? Where the government kind of just controls everything and they're not gonna allow people to speak up against the government. That's just kind of how it is, right? Sadly, but everybody has their day. And that's why I believe, you know, it may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, it may not be, you know, next year, but God is gonna get you, right? Like, I mean, this is real, right? This
I
is
mean,
karma, you know, karma always comes, right? And sadly, I feel like that's what we have to wait for. We gotta wait for, you know, God to do his work, right? And
there would be other people that would like to say that they would like to take matters into their own hand.
I'm with you, right? Because again, I do not agree of like putting children in labor, right? Of, you know, trigger warning of like raping women, right? And like doing all these, you know what I mean? Like, all this stuff is very inhumane, right? Like, so, you know, everybody has their day. You know, you could play a good guy as much as you want, but between you and God, he knows what you're doing, knows what you're doing, and when judgment day comes, just know you
There's gonna
know
be a
where you're going.
long line.
Just know you know where you're going. You're not going up. You're not going upstairs. That's for sure. Like, that's not where you're going. But yeah. You know, as far as Congo, you know, or about 6 million people have been killed. And again, that number sadly is kind of rising because it's still currently happening. You know, the war is still currently happening. Well, I wouldn't say the war, the genocide is still currently happening. You know, civilians are, again, trigger warning, civilians are continuing to be, you know, killed, raped, mutilated, you know what I mean? And it's very, very sad. But again, there's we'll probably put some links. There are like trustworthy organizations that are, you know, helping all the people that are displaced, you know, during like the whole genocide that is taking place right now. So it's, you know, very, you know, if you are looking for credible people to kind of donate to, I know a young lady, she works with an orphanage. So that is somebody, you know, that I know, you know, that's doing good work. So we'll also put her link, you know, in the description, right? Yeah, so, yeah, the description, yeah. But also something else that did happen recently in Congo, there was a flooding. They got hit with heavy rain, and then the Congo River did overflood, and Kinshasa, which is the capital, it did flood, and about like 300 people, you know, passed away. And then there's thousands that have lost everything, you know, so they're displaced. Also, same thing kind of affected the neighbor, Congo Brazza, the flooding and people being displaced. So,
I know you've been mentioning all this kind of stuff from a non perspective, from a objective perspective. How are you feeling about this, Amy?
In terms of what the
Well,
genocide.
like everything that's been going on, and like, you know, how are you yourself like doing? Because like, I can only imagine that if being in the shoes of like hearing that your brothers and sisters warning are being, I can't even say the word because my Spanish accent, mutilated. There we go. Thank you. And all that kind of stuff.
I think it's like feeling of helplessness, right? Like I feel like that helpless feeling that I feel is not gonna go away, right? But I think the little bit that I am doing, you know, I have to sit back and, you know, look and say it's gonna benefit somehow, right? Again, right? Like it's, I would want it to benefit today, right? I would want it, everything to like, I do something and then it happens today. But I think understanding that, like, hey, you know, you're doing the best that you can, right? Like, not to be super, super hard on yourself that you could be doing more, right? Like, that you want, right? Obviously, everybody always wants to do more. They want to help more. They want to, you know what I mean? But I think if you are doing something, right, you are helping in some way. Yeah. And I think us constantly putting out information out there, making people aware of what's going on, I think that's, you know, that's very, very important, right? I think continuing to put out information is very important. You know, like the more people see it, the more people know what's going on, you know what I mean? And you share, you never know who's gonna end up seeing it, right? I think overall, you know, what's the word? You gotta take it in strides. I don't know if that makes sense, right? And just understand that, you know, sadly it's a process and you can only do so much, you know, with what you have.
I think it's important. Well, number one, it's also kind of important to recognize that, like, to take a break mentally and from the news. The news likes to, or should, I shouldn't assume. It has been seen many times that many news outlets like to instill certain types of feelings that will attribute to not helping the situation from an individual level or from a grander level. And so the reason I asked the question to Amy was because it's Amy's talking about a lot of this, and it's also kind of important to kind of also check yourself when you're doing all of this, because you can just easily just get into the weeds of it to the point that, like, I don't want to say that it breaks you. I want to say that it basically also makes you kind of cynical to the point that you just don't do anything and you just get numb to everything. You know what I'm trying to say, Amy?
Yeah.
That I think that to recognize, to take a step back and to be like, hey, if I need to take a little break, then that's fine. You know, mentally, that's okay. You know, and to as well to recognize that just because you do doesn't mean that you don't care about the situation or anything like that. It's just important to kind of recognize your own mental health as well through all of this, especially for people that, you know, that are coming from where a lot of this is happening from.
I definitely agree. And that's why I do the music thing.
What music thing do you do, Amy? I don't think the people know.
Shameless plug. I go to venues and I press play and stop.
I can't stand you.
Yeah. Nah, but I think also, you know, having my my siblings is always, yeah, very, 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 very helpful, refreshing, you know. So
shout out to your siblings.
Nah, for sure. For sure. For sure. For sure. Funniest people as I know. but yeah, no, to hop back in it. We'll talk about Sudan next. A little bit about what's going on over there. There's a war right now between the paramilitary rapid support force and Sudan's military. The war right now is entering like 7 months. There's been an estimated of 9,000 people that have been killed, and then about like 5.6 million people that have been forced to flee their homes during the conflict. Again, this is, and I believe, don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure this again has to do with controlling the government. I mean, it does have to do with controlling the government, and I think resources and I don't know. There's a lot going on there as well. I feel like I read something that was because said it was also like targeting like the Black Africans in Sudan.
Many of those who lived in these camps were victims of Sudan's government successful waves of ethnic cleansing campaigns that started in early 2000s, even before April 2023. Chad was home to already 400,000 Sudanese refugees, many of whom have fled over the years of abuse. The RSF and the allied militias, I think that's how you say it, had also jointly attacked the predominant Masalit town of Misri on May 28th, destroying the town and executing at least 28 ethnic Masalit men and injuring 1,000 civilians that day.
Masalit, yes. I knew it had to do with something.
So it sounds like yes.
Yeah. So they're definitely like the black Africans that are being targeted. Yes, I thought I seen that somewhere, but yeah. So it's like the non Arab. I think it's the non Arab like black Africans that are being targeted by the RSF, which is led by Hamidi, is what they call him. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so he's backed by the UAE and the Libyan militia.
Mm-hmm.
And he made his wealth from like exporting of gold from illegal mines. So he has like his own money, and plus, like, again, like the UAE and, you know, the Libyan militia like backing him. So yeah, so he's, you know, committing, you know, basically genocide, right? Because he's killing off one group. Yeah, so targeting the And again, I don't know if I'm gonna pronounce this right.
I think that's how you pronounce it, but actually, you know what? I'm also gonna look that up because I don't wanna.
And then they also said the other two groups, Tama and Iringa, were also targeted. Mostly targeting non-Arab groups. That's something to watch. And I saw this girl's video. She was talking about what was going on there, and then she was saying how the leader of the RSF, Hamidi, he's like traveling this freely across the continent, going to different countries and talking to leaders and stuff like that. So
Mazalit.
Mazalit,
Mazalit.
but again, like with the situation in Sudan, the World Food Program warned the risk of having to restrict or stop some of the activities in Chad for lack of sufficient funding. And that is because like Chad is hosting a lot of like the Sudanese refugees. So they already had about like 400,000 Sudanese refugees who crossed the border, right? Before like the current situation that started like 7 months ago, that, well, not started again, but kind of reignited, I guess you could say. And then like 500,000 people have already arrived since April of 2023. So it's a lot going on. And again, for Chad, that's hosting more people than than probably they have the food for. So that's why the World Food Program is kind of like warning of like the risk. I kind of did this out of order. I feel like I think when I talked about Congo, Rwanda, I should have done Burundi as well, because that also borders. Regardless, so for Burundi, a Burundian armed rebel group known as like the Red Tabara, they're based in South Kivu, which is again in eastern Congo, right? That hot spot for everything that's happening right now with the M23 and the Ugandan rebels, right?
Wasn't that
So,
in North Kivu, or am I confusing it with somebody else, or with something else?
no, I'm saying so in Kivu itself, right?
Oh,
It's
just
like
a Kivu in general. Oh, okay, I got you. I got you. That's
the
what you meant.
hot
Okay.
spot, right? But right, because there's a lot of like mining's happening throughout that whole area. But yeah, there's a Burundian like armed rebel group, the Red Tabara, that are based in South Kivu, which is Eastern Congo. They took like responsibility for an attack that happened like late December of 2023 in the village of Katumba, which is close to like the close to the border of Congo and Burundi. So that attack killed about 20 people, right? So as of like Friday, I think last week or 2 weeks ago, Burundi's president accused Rwanda of funding and training that rebel group. So again, I hope we're
Rwanda's
seeing
in hot
a pattern.
water right now. Whew.
I hope we're seeing a pattern. Like the surrounding countries are, kind of like a, you know what I mean? They're starting to notice. I think people are starting to speak up, and they're seeing, they're kind of seeing the Rwandese government as like, for what it is, And but I'm glad the president spoke up, and obviously Rwanda denied it. They're not gonna come out and say, yes, it was me. But we know one accusation, is one thing, but if multiple people in different countries are accusing you of the same thing at some point, right? Like where there's smoke.
There's the fire.
So now we can kind of probably get into like the the more
Question.
yes.
What about people who don't know what the red Tabara are?
Honestly, I mean, I don't know who they are either. But they are a rebel group that came from Burundi. But it seems like they're being funded by Rwanda. So, because again, Burundi and Rwanda, where they used to be one, like back in like the colonial era. I want to say country. I guess country.
Province, state.
Yes. Yeah. I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like that's the word, right? That's how they split them. They split them up. But yeah, so they did split up after like independence and stuff like that. So the Hutu and the Tutsis and all that. So it goes, Yeah, it goes back. So that's why I feel like it's a little bit easy for everyone to fund. Yeah, but
Politics. You gotta love it.
yeah, bro. So I guess the more we find out about that, definitely we'll share that. Feel it.
What happened?
Now I do. I am a little sick. I am a little bit under the weather, but it's not like it's not crazy, but well anymore. But I still like feel the after effects. Like if I talk for too long, like start to like lose my voice. I was in a meeting. This is a sidebar, but I was in a meeting on Thursday, and so we meeting with clients, and they're talking, they're talking, they're talking, and they had asked a question. So I was answering the question, and I didn't talk for probably for like probably like a minute or two, bro. Started losing my voice. Like as I kept talking, my voice is like going away, going away, going away. And I'm trying to clear and then I just told my man, I'm like, bro, you're gonna have to take over because, bro, I literally lost my voice, bro. Lost my voice. You know, like, so, yeah. But nonetheless, you know, the ginger tea got my voice back. But yeah,
Hey, I
definitely.
was just gonna say, make sure you be drinking that jengibre.
Yeah, so we'll try to speed this up a little bit before I completely lose it. But yeah, so we could kind of jump into like, you know, the, I'll say the more positive stuff that's been happening. You know, we talk about like, well, I think before that, let's do a Somalia since we're in that area. There's a lot going on in Somalia. They recently they've had an issue with Somaliland because Somaliland has signed they signed something with Ethiopia for Ethiopia to use their ports for I think for like naval training or like trading stuff, whatever. And yeah, Somalia was upset about that. So there's something happening around there with them. Yeah, I think a couple months ago, also they experienced flooding. We heard about like El Nino, that right, that was happening where it was like bringing like rains and hurricanes and stuff like that. So they experienced flooding due to that. About like 50 people passed away and about like 700,000 other people were displaced. So they're still recovering from that. And then, you know, now this ongoing kind of like back and forth between them, Somaliland and Ethiopia, that I'll kind of keep an eye on as well, because it might end up developing into something, right? Like, and I know Somaliland wants to become a country, wants to be a recognized country, and right now it's kind of viewed as like part of, you know, Somalia. Because again, Ethiopia is landlocked, right? So for them, it'll be beneficial to be able to use their ports to, you know, for all that stuff. But again, Somalia doesn't, I don't want to use any terminology, but I feel like Somalian government feels like Somaliland is still part of Somalia, so they shouldn't have made that port deal, right, with Ethiopia. So yeah, so that's definitely something to watch. But
Yeah,
yeah.
there's also a military aspect to it. Somaliland has said that it has leased a section of the coast to Ethiopia's navy, and detail that can be confirmed by Addis Ababa. In return, Somaliland will get a share in Ethiopia's airlines, the country's very successful national carrier.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. So
and the
yeah.
details of it hasn't been made all 100% clear or
Yeah.
public.
Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, that's something, yeah, because the Somalian president was very, you know, very upset. You know, he's very been outspoken about it. So he has signed I think like a bill or something that said that it was that deal would not be recognized or something like that. So yeah, so I don't know. Yeah, something to watch out over there as well. But I think now we
Yeah,
could into like
the
now you
oh, I'm
go
sorry.
ahead. Now go
I
ahead,
was
bro.
gonna say that there's a there's a little small quote saying that he said the day after MOU was signed, Somalia described the deal as an act of aggression that was impediment to peace and stability. It
Yeah.
also recalled its ambassador from Addis Ababa, and
Yes.
that
Yes. Yes.
he also called to the youth and said to prepare for the defense of our country.
Yeah, hopefully they figure it out. But yeah, I think we could kind of jump into like the more positive stuff that has happened. We've talked about this before, right? The cool belt of Africa.
Which was the last episode, so if you haven't listened to it, listen to it.
Nice, yeah. But yeah, so we briefly talked about that, about what was going on over there with Mali, Burkina Faso, Niger, right? Guinea was kind of like the kind of sparked, what was going on. But since then, for Niger, France has completely withdrew all of its troops. So there's no like French troop presence in Niger anymore. But of course, France said that it's still gonna protect its interests in Niger, so they're not completely
Course.
like, completely freed yet. But soon, for like soon, it will happen. They essentially were trying to. I was reading a couple of news articles actually. They're essentially trying to paint the narrative that Niger won't be able to protect itself, right? Since the French troops have left, they're saying like it kind of leaves a hole, right, in Niger, that they won't be able to protect itself, being involved in the Sahel, which is below the Sahara Desert. It's kind of known as like a hotspot for like terrorism, right? So that's an area that Mali, Burkina Faso, and Niger, right? They've kind of come together to get rid of like the terrorism that is taking place in that area right there, because it's right, those three countries are like very much close to each other, so it passes through all of them. So they've come together, agreed on like a mutual defense pact, and they're gonna kind of help each other out with the any armed rebellion that's gonna take place in there. The defense pact is called the Alliance of Sahel States. I think that was a smart move. No, I think they've been doing really well. So we're very, very happy about like all those three countries right now kind of like pushing to get rid of that. Also something to note, Burkina Faso did do away with French being like the main language. And I think Niger is doing the same thing, but they're in the transition period where they're keeping it for the government. And they're slowly going to transition out of that. And they're doing the same thing with English as well. Now, I believe Mali's doing the same thing Niger is doing, where they're gonna having like a transitional period where people are gonna like transition from like having French as their main language, and like, their home dialects are gonna be, the main languages that, so. Which is good. I've always wondered. You talked about that. I feel like no. I feel like we talked about that one time where I was like, I don't understand why like colonial life, I like that.
Yes, I know. It's one of your many varied topics that you're passionate about.
Yeah, so very happy about that. They're kind of taking a stand and doing away with the French. France is still obviously very active in the other.
You okay?
Yeah, we got a few minutes before it's gone. But yeah, France is still very active in like, there are other like territories that they still have. So hopefully the rest of them kind of wake up also and decide to do away with their presence as well. Also something big for Niger, after 22 years of a French monopoly over their drinking water, which is insane. Niger's new government has nationalized the water sector. The new government has created a new state-owned water company. I think that's amazing. I think it's crazy that France had monopolized water. You know what I mean? I think this, yeah. Again, like little inhumane things, right? Like, but I'm very proud of Niger and Mali, Burkina Faso for what they're doing, as I am very proud again of South Africa. But yeah, that kind of concludes a little bit. I hope I didn't miss anything. Kind of concludes like the main things that is taking place right now on the continent. So we'll kind of keep everybody updated on our socials as we go for everything that's happening. But yeah, it's good to be back. Again, I apologize that my voice halfway is going to sound like groggy, but had to get an episode out today. Yeah.
I to or want to?
Want to. Yeah. But yeah. I think it's
Okay. All right. Excuse me. So, you know, always feel free to drop us a 5 stars. If you give us anything less than 5 stars, we don't want it. You can just kindly return to sender real quick. The other thing too that you could do that we, you know, we ask you to do to stay informed every single time is to follow us on our social. Our Instagram is official_NextStopAfrica. Twitter is _NextStopAfrica. Our LinkedIn is NextStopAfrica. And our beautiful, amazing website is nextstopafrica.net.
And now is time for my favorite part of the show, the song of the day. I think for this one, because AFCON that is happening right now, do you know what AFCON is?
I do not.
It's Africa Cup of Nations, so it's soccer. So song of the day is going to be the theme song. It's called Akwaba. It's by Magic System, Yemi Alade, and Mohamed Ramadan. Hope everybody enjoyed today's episode. Hope everybody feels kind of caught up. If I did miss anything from any country, please let me know. And we'll find a way to add it in, whether it's on social media or doing a second episode on just keeping everybody updated. Make sure you tune in to our next episode, which will be on Comoros. Again, appreciate you guys having us back. Again, Happy New Year's. But yeah, as always though, until next time, peace.